in a true and fair election.
I love that first word, true. Like, what is a fucking true election, Sherlock? Like, what the fuck are you talking
what
about?
What is a true election, Sherlock?
Like, solve that mystery for me.
Yeah.
It's fucking incredible. In case you guys didn't know, this is the Layman's Guide to the Multiverse.
Where we dive into
panels and break through the fourth walls. In this episode, we have decided to start off by breaking the fourth wall and giving you a little insight into our day-to-day lives.
Yeah, but not to get political. I'm sorry.
No, not to get political, though. No.
Did we record that? Was that on recording? Oh, gosh. I hope it was.
This is going to be an interesting edit. That's all I know. And it's probably going to be me. So, like, I just hope you guys are enjoying the new intro. I've been meaning to give people credit where credit's due. Part of it's me. It's great.
Yeah, that's great. But honestly, for the sake of, like, the editor, Paolo, can I get a clean, I don't mean to make this political?
I don't mean to make this political.
Okay, thanks. Fantastic. We can use that in the edit.
I know people who have gone down that rabbit hole. It's kind of weird. Like,
it's sad, is what it is.
I want to. There is no benefit of the doubt in that. It is just kind of sad, but
it's right. Well, yeah, especially if it's someone you care about. It's like, oh, please don't go down this road. I cannot follow you. You know, it's like a Padme to Anakin, right? Like,
that road I would follow, though. Like, that's fine. killing Jedi children, like, those are child soldiers. It's fine.
Those are child soldiers.
Those are child soldiers. It's fine.
What an unhinged thing to say.
Yeah, Anakin says Ajab.
The Jedi are a cult of child indoctrinated soldiers. Like,
it is true.
It's not incorrect what I'm saying.
Yeah, they were space cops. Like, the first movie, or Phantom Menace, was pretty explicit. Qui-Gon's like, I'm not going to free the slaves. I'm here to free you. I don't give a shit about the slaves.
He didn't put it like that.
It's his attitude, because he's like, if I free these slaves, then that looks bad on the Jedi, because now we're a thing.
All the slaves.
And that's going to be a whole thing.
All the slaves. It's going to be a big thing. The expense report's going to be really awkward already. Like, the Anakin, fact that I am buying a child.
You have to see it from my point of view, Anakin. This is going to be a lot of work for me.
Here, Anakin, check out this YouTube video. It's got like 400 views.
This is why you're actually better off here under the huts. Like, you just don't understand how good you have it.
The huts. Granted, the huts are like freedom from, like, you know, the Outer Rim doesn't fall under that. Tatooine never saw any battles in the war.
Yeah, good for them. Good for them. What about all those slaves they got, though? Like, what's going on there?
You gotta do your own research here. Listen, Anakin, I'm not trying to get political or anything, but this is going to look really bad on the Jedi.
We can't let the other Jedi know that I'm here.
I mean, listen, don't tell Ki-Adi-Mundi. That man's going to go and try to find like 5 more wives.
I wasn't sure what you're about to say, and I thought you were going to be like, don't tell Keanu Reeves. And I was like, I wish I could just talk to him. Like, I'd like to tell him anything, honestly.
He seems super awesome.
Yeah. Do you guys, all right, you guys probably don't know the reference I'm making to Ki-Adi-Mundi.
No. Who is this?
Ki-Adi-Mundi is a Jedi Master, probably the most hated of the Jedi Masters during the time of the Clone Wars. He's the dick bag with like a cone head. And like,
Conan, or he is a cone head? Because I hope
he has a cone head.
I just like the descriptor dick bag with a cone head, just that is by itself.
Ki-Adi-Mundi was a dick bag during the entire Clone Wars. He treated his fucking his clones like shit, okay. Uh-huh. On top of that, and the man was like, the Jedi Knights were like supposed to be. Not celibate, but like they're not supposed to have attachments, right?
Right, so, which was baloney, right?
But yeah, but Ki-Adi-Mundi worked around the system and was allowed to have like 10 wives.
Oh, well, wow.
Yeah, but he has no emotional attachment to him.
But he has no emotional attachment to them, so yeah, it's fine.
He's just slinging that schmeet, right?
Yeah, slinging that schmeet. I forget what race he is.
He's a Conehead. You just said it.
Yeah, yeah. Brendan Fraser fame, right? No. He wasn't. No, he was a Conehead.
That's Dan Aykroyd.
There it is. The crystal skull. Way off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The crystal skull vodka. Oh, my gosh. Oh, God.
Let's see. Kiare Mundi is a Cerean, Cerean. For those of you who don't know, he is in fact just a fucking Conehead. Please,
was he in Phantom Menace, like on the council? Like he was that guy?
Yes, I will literally. Oh, he's
fucking mustache and the beard, right? He's the fucking Fu Manchu.
Yes, that is exactly what I'm referring to.
I didn't know his name, but yeah, I picture him.
Dude, everybody in Star Wars has a name. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, everybody has a name in Star Wars. Fucking
well, yeah, and they're all weird, and I love them.
In our Discord, I've posted Kiare Mundi for those of you who don't know. Again, as I described, he's a fucking Conehead with like a big Fu Manchu mustache, big white beard, the most hated of the Jedi masters.
Yeah, he sucks.
He does suck.
I didn't know.
The only one that I cheered when they got killed by the clones. It's fine.
All the other ones, you're like, no, oh no, my boy. Yeah, fuck that Conehead dickhead.
Yeah, woo.
Good fucking riddance, Kiare Mundi. Good fucking riddance.
Wow.
Pretty sure dickhead with a cone. Dickhead with a cone. I'm pretty sure Conehead. Whatever you said before, Hobo with a Shotgun sequel.
I would love that.
Damn it.
Dick bag with a cone head.
Is the Hobo with a Shotgun sequel.
Oh, I love that. For us?
That joke would have been funny if I actually was able to deliver it, you know?
But now we can just kind of think about it, because it is funny. It just took a while to get there, and I appreciate it. I appreciate it that it now exists out in the world. From your mind and our help to everyone else's ears.
My mouth to God's ears, right?
Yeah, thanks, God. How many ears do you think God has?
That's a good question.
You have to listen to everybody on Earth? Oh, that's tiring.
I forgot where it was I saw. There's a someone posed the idea that they think that the biblical God is actually just an ancient old one.
What do you mean by ancient old one? Like a Eldritch?
Like an Eldritch horror, like Cthulhu.
Yeah. That's fun.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I feel like that's a valid, it's a valid theory.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you follow. I mean, one, if you follow the ancient astronaut theory. Two, if you were gonna follow, any of the like prehistory texts.
I mean, Nibiru is a thing.
Yeah, dude. The Anunnaki are real.
Yeah, they're my friends and also my parents.
We've come full circle. We're a conspiracy podcast now.
My uncle works for Nintendo.
Please no. Oh, yeah, that is true. That part's true. Please no. Please, don't let this become a conspiracy. No conspiracy, please.
I mean, listen, we're breaking down those fourth walls, like understanding those conspiracies and making sure that people do not fall for them. I feel like that is a service,
especially in this day and age.
Media literacy, it's important.
Reading comprehension, media literacy, and not believing everything you see on the internet.
Yeah, something I learned really early.
Yeah, growing up on the internet kind of helps you, gives you a shield. I would hope gives most people a shield to like sniffing out like internet bullshit.
I hate to say it, but too many people in our generation are like falling for the like QAnon, conspiracy theories. Like these are people in our generation. Like,
yeah, that's true. I guess I'm just projecting because I'm like, maybe, surely other people can sniff this out. But yeah, I guess that is true.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I feel like maybe it's the fact that we were nerdy growing up and like enjoyed like these fantastical ideas are exactly that, fantasy story.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I feel like we have had this conversation. Conspiracy theories are kind of sexy, man. because it makes life more fun.
Are they Rule 34 sexy or
no,
like spicy sexy? Because like
there's probably a Venn diagram there somewhere.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's fair. No, I just mean like it just like it gives life a little bit of spice, a little bit of zing, you know, spicy life. Right.
Yeah. I mean, they are fun. They're fun to think about, like what ifs. But yeah. Like,
so the conspiracy, depending on the conspiracy levels, is it like the classic from Hot Ones or is it the bomb from Hot Ones? Like, what level of spice are we talking here?
Oh, I mean, I do like some flavor, so I would say it's like, you know, your classic, whatever. Well,
like Los Calientes. Like we've watched Hot Ones on YouTube, right? Like
I love Hot Ones. Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, exactly.
It's been a little bit since I've jumped in on the show, so I don't know what the current lineup is of the current season. But,
you just gotta remember, the bomb is just always bad.
Yeah, it's
always the last one.
It's just violence for violence' sake, and
It's never good. It's never good. No one enjoys it. It's just watching people's reaction as they're just assaulted orally.
No, the host hates it too. He's like, this sucks.
Yeah.
They're the same orally thing with, like, assaulted.
Oh, Jesus. They should probably sign a waiver, right?
I think they do.
I think they do. I hope they do. I imagine they do.
Well, the thing is, like, you can tap out at any time, right? Like, it's like, okay, this is too, I have to not eat these anymore before you even get to the bomb, right?
Yeah, I think the only person who hasn't reached at least the bomb was DJ Khaled.
Wow.
Fuck that guy.
Hey, but his he's going against his brand.
I think DJ Khaled tapped out at like the fourth wing.
Yeah, that sounds right. That guy's a pussy. Like,
but his brand is another one.
No! My brand!
My brand!
I wonder what Matt thinks about DJ Khaled.
I'll ask him next time I see him.
Oh, so the detective has discovered his location? Or like,
You know, the actual detective, the real detective that I have, in fact, hired to look for Matt has told me that he may or may not have been in contact with Matt.
Oh, yeah.
So we're kind of like on the verge of the discovery. Like he's not sure if he's ready to do that reveal just yet.
All right. So when you say like when you're on the verge of discovery, is this like a Warner Brothers Discovery merger kind of thing? Is this like,
oh, good.
You know, I wish I could make the comparison, but you know, we don't deal in mergers here and acquisitions.
Yeah.
You know, we're not big business. We're trying to we're a small podcast, very small podcast. It's not like I have millions of dollars that I've embezzled into, you know, my flights and travel and fancy toys that I buy myself.
Yeah, because I was gonna say, like, Ed and myself have given you like a lot of money to find Matt. So like I'm glad that the detective is real because you keep saying he's real.
Yeah.
And that you're on the verge of discovering potentially where he is and talking to him. So that brings joy to my life. I think that's great.
Listen, in fact, I may have to fly to find him, so it's fine.
Okay. No, I trust you.
You know, I did take a trip to the Bahamas a little bit ago, like a couple weeks back, and you know, that was a productive trip.
Was he wasn't there, right? Like you didn't find him.
He wasn't there. I couldn't find him there. But it was productive, you know. Followed up on a lot of leads. May have to go to California to see. Maybe he's there. He might have gone overseas. I mean, for all I know, he's in London right now.
Oh, that's true. He was practicing an accent last I heard him before he disappeared.
Yeah, there's a slight possibility he may, in the future, he may be in the Netherlands or you know, Amsterdam, too. Well, I may have to go find him there.
Well, Godspeed, Paulo, because we got to get our boy back. Never leave a man behind is a podcast saying, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. The detective will let me know and I'll fill you guys in. It's fine.
Thank you. Thank you.
I love that.
We'll find him. It's fine. We'll find him. He's absolutely definitely being cunted by the detective that I absolutely have hired.
Yeah, the more you say it, the more I believe you. So just keep saying it because it really puts my mind at ease. You know,
definitely relax about the whole thing now.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Totally. I didn't totally just use that money to buy myself a new ROG Ally. So, you know, that's not a thing I did at all.
Oh, you got the new ROG Ally? Did you? Did you get that one?
No, actually, I did buy that.
But all right.
It has nothing to do with like the detective. It has nothing to do with the detective I hired.
Well, of course, but it's cool that you brought it up, and I'm happy for you. I'm glad that you can find the time to focus on yourself. Because I know you've been so busy with Matt.
Between work, looking for Matt, you know, and my normal day-to-day life, you know, I still have to find time to give time for myself.
Yeah, self-care is important.
Self-care is absolutely important, guys. Go see your therapists. Don't say no to therapy.
Yeah, it's good.
Therapy is great. Therapy is fantastic. And make sure to take care of yourselves physically as well. Don't end up like us, all hurting from whatever reason that recently has happened to us. Like, I have fucked up shoulders. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I'm feeling pretty good, but you know, it's fine. But that's because I'm very sedentary right now, so I don't do anything.
Not good either. We're still. I know they say we're out of COVID times, like COVID's over, so to speak.
I mean, really, only America saying that. But yeah,
is it only America that's saying that?
America's like back to business.
China is like still in the middle of it, but like I don't know about Europe and stuff. I actually haven't heard anything about Europe and stuff. We did literally just live through a Russian civil war in the middle of the Ukrainian-Russian war.
Yeah, I heard that.
It's a one-day civil war.
Wild stuff. That's just called a coup, right?
It was an attempted coup.
Yeah.
And then I guess somebody paid enough money to stop it.
Ooh.
I have a feeling it's all money. It's all money.
Of course it's all money.
When is it not?
Who doesn't like money?
It's all capitalism, guys.
I don't like money.
Don't kid yourself, you love money.
No, I wish I didn't need it. It's just a hassle. If I could live life without money, that'd be great.
That's fair.
It's just I need it, so it's like, okay, I guess I'll collect this stuff.
Yeah, I feel that.
Jesus Christ.
What?
Where did we go? Where did we start from this?
Oh,
what was the plan? Because I can tell you what the plan is.
Yeah, I actually, Paolo, to remember the plan, I'm going to need you to roll an intelligence check here for me.
Shit. Okay, hold on. Let me pull my dice out. You're calling me out on this. Just a straight one. Yeah, just straight intelligence.
And you can add the plus. I'll let you add what you think your intelligence modifier is.
You know, that's hard.
Yeah, it is hard.
That's hard.
Can I also roll? Because I just got new hedgehog dice.
Yeah.
You know, it's wild. The average intelligence for a normal base human is a 10.
Yeah. Now, I think I'm 10. Like, because any higher is ridiculous.
I'm definitely at a 10, but am I above a 10?
I don't, because that's the thing. It's like, it gets. Myself?
Am I roasting myself if I roll with just a straight 10?
I did. I got a 14.
Hey, there you go. Yeah, I think a plus zero is safe because it gets kind of fuzzy, like what the, like, a 12, like a plus one bonus means in D&D, right? Because like what? Like I can't shoot fireballs in real life, so I must not be.
Oh, yeah, I also rolled a 14.
Oh damn.
Oh yeah. There we go.
There you go. That's a pass on the DC, right? So just the DC 10?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it was the DC 10 to remember the topic.
What was the topic? Remind me.
UA. The new UA that the Wizards of the Coast and their D&D 5e just released today.
I know this is going to bring up contention. Is it 5e or is it 5.5?
Oh, I don't know.
That's a good question.
Yeah. I think 5e, like the E in math is like, it's an imaginary number, I think. I don't know. I don't know enough about math, but.
Letters are imaginary.
Letters are imaginary. That's true. We made them up. We made up numbers too.
Yeah, we definitely made up numbers.
No, isn't math supposed to be like universal constant, or is that like what we believe is universal constant?
I think we believe that.
It's just how it's something we use to explain the world. Like this is how things function. Like we've mapped it out. So we could be wrong, but we're not like exactly too wrong, at least from like a large scale, right? Like if you have two apple, like one apple and one apple, that's two apples, right?
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair. Okay, that makes sense. Like two peaches are two peaches.
Yeah, exactly. It's just kind of explaining, I guess, something that so, I guess is complex in a simple term.
Counting is real.
Counting's real.
But letters are made up.
Letters are made up. But also, like, numbers are fucking weird, right? This is something I've thought about on and off just because, I don't know, it interests me. But to count from 1 to 2, you have to go past an infinite amount of numbers to get there. Isn't that crazy?
Wait, what? From 1 to 2?
Yeah, there's an infinite amount of digits in between 1 and 2 and 3 and 4.
You're right.
Because of decimals and shit. Because
of decimals and shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's obnoxious.
Right?
Now that but, I think about that. Yeah.
No, but it's great because every day you break infinity, right? Like, you are better than infinity.
Oh.
Yeah. That's infinity ain't nothing. I could 1 and 2. Boom. Did it. I beat it.
That's a hot take from the layman's guide to the multi.
It's not a hot take. I'm just trying to be inspirational, right? It might also be nonsense. I don't know.
I love it, though.
Yeah.
No, I'm just reminding. I'm just thinking about something that I heard this morning on a podcast I was listening to. Someone called writing reverse reading.
Yeah. Holy shit.
I love that.
Yeah, that's yeah, right. Thank you, Ed. Exactly. Like, that blew my mind. Writing is just reverse reading.
Yeah, there you go. I like that.
Hot pockets and calzone. Like, I
yes, of course.
let's not start on the food on the food well, thing. That's
my favorite because it means absolutely nothing. I love it.
That alignment of food. Like, what is a sandwich versus what is a calzone versus what is like a hot dog?
Yeah.
That is a rabbit hole I do not want to go down. I need to close this Chrome tab because Kiati Mundi keeps staring at me.
Wow. Dude, I got him open still too. I fucking hate this guy.
I'm looking at him and yeah, I hate him. I don't like him.
I'm deleting this message from our Discord. I don't want to fucking look at him.
I don't want to see this ever again.
There he goes. Goodbye.
Dick bag with a cone head.
All right, so do we want
the visual? Holy shit!
Right? Do we just kind of want to go over like a top-down view here?
I think we should. Well, how long are we? we've been talking about not the UA. I think I'm here for it. I'm here for it. But I'm sorry. Yeah, let's dive into it. Let's dive into it.
Let's. Okay. Very quickly, what they covered in this UA. This UA is actually one of the biggest UAs that they've released since they started the whole process. Essentially, cool. What they have decided is that they are rolling back a bunch of changes that they thought of, essentially because the community hated them. So, for example, one of the things across the board that they wanted to do was standardize when certain classes got their subclasses. They wanted to make that at level 3 for everybody. Not a bad idea, but apparently the community didn't like it.
Right. I guess in actual play, it felt worse than in like, because on paper, it seems like a good idea, right?
Yeah, like it makes sense. Like you want to learn your class, right? Before you have to make the decision on what your subclass is going to be.
Yep. But I get it from a player's, but you don't want to I want to be like a cool thing and restricting the rules. Yeah.
When I'm thinking about it, it's actually really interesting because more often than not, remember the people that they're polling, like I feel as though the people that respond in terms of like these polls and in the playtest are more than likely going to be people who have been playing for a while.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
So I feel like as though the numbers have to be a little skewed in favor of people who have been playing for a while and want to keep things as close to the original version as they are.
Yeah, I don't really see new people or new players just being like, oh, hey, here's this brand or here's this thing that's like not even out yet. Because if you don't know, UA stands for Unearthed Arcana, which is this Wizards of the Coast's like fancy little tag for playtest material. So it's beta, not even it's in beta, right?
Mm, right.
And they've already ran a number of these already. So this particular revision is, like Paula was saying, massive because it's rolling back a bunch of. Or it's changing a bunch of the other rules. Yeah. It's changing the changes.
Yeah.
So but the point I was going to make is I don't see brand new people looking at this thing and going, this is where I'm going to start my D&D career.
Yeah, that would be odd.
Yeah. And like us, for example, like I know I myself have. Jesus Christ, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I have almost 20 years of experience as a player and a dungeon master.
Seasoned vet.
Like, I don't mind keeping the subclasses at third level. Like, that just validly makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I can remove my bias as a veteran player and as a veteran DM and try to look at it from the perspective of a new player.
It's hard, but if you have a lot of voices, like if they got a lot of veteran DMs and play groups to give their voices, that is good feedback because that means it works, right?
Yeah, that's true. That is good feedback. I don't know. It's just something. The question that occurred to me right now was just like, how did they
come up with the idea to roll it back? They're also playtesting this stuff, right? So if like a guy like Jeremy Crawford, who's like spearheading the rule sets. With a team of people, obviously, they've got people in the office that they're like, okay, we're going to play test this stuff. And in even them with their idea of like, oh, let's go after this thing, or let's try this, or let's change this mechanic. And they're like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Then they go to play it. They're like, oh, this is terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's super important. Cause a lot of things look really cool on paper, but like, well, is this fun? Right. Yeah. Like, is it fun to do this?
I feel like that's the biggest part of this is like, is it fun?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times that like I've rolled up a character and was like, oh, this concept is really cool. And then I get to the table and it's like, I'm a late addition to the party. So I was just like, what do you need? And I rolled up a concept for that. And it's like, oh, well, I didn't realize this was going to be super roleplay heavy. And now I'm playing a horribly optimized combat character.
Combat character.
Oh, whoops.
I mean, that is kind of funny, though, like if you really lean into it. Like, not that you start fights, but that you're just very unequipped for all the situations they're putting you in.
That's exactly what I've done. And I feel bad because I'm like, I have other characters that are way more equipped for this and it would be more fun for me to play and the rest of the party, but they like that this guy's an idiot, so.
Oh, all right.
All right.
I mean, listen, it's collaborative. Like, I feel the days of old Dungeons & Dragons where it was the DM versus the players and there was like some sense of competitiveness to it are in the past. Like, if you want to play a competitive type of game, there are other systems that are made for that.
Or just go play the No Fun League, Adventurers League.
Oh, Adventurers?
There's an Adventurers League? Oh, let's go. Let's be adventurers.
Do you not know about Adventurers League, Hacker?
No, I don't.
No? So, yeah. Adventurers League is the... like the official quote unquote, like canon, like league that's essentially you have to play by the rules of only what Wizards of the Coast has released and only like with no homebrew, no extra stuff, nothing following the timeline of like Wizards of the Coast. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Ed, I think that's the gist of what Adventures League is.
I want to say, yeah, I mean, it's more or less, You're just strict to a handful of books, right? I want to say that you're only allowed, when you go to build a character, you're allowed like one source book besides the player's handbook and the DMG.
That's gross. Oh.
And certain things are just straight up banned. So like the old Aarakocra before it was revised in Monsters of the Multiverse.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. We're just straight up banned because they were like, yeah, you only have a 25 foot walking speed, but you've got a 50 foot flying speed. So just having like, you know, not only are you faster than most races at base, but you can fly.
That's huge.
Yeah. And in a game where like you're allowed to do whatever you want, having the vertical in a game where most people only think 2D or 3D. Yeah, I mean, obviously it's going to be 3D, but like, you get what I'm trying to say. If like someone looks at this as like a video game aspect, you kind of forget that there's a vertical.
Yeah. Or even just thinking about it, like just I'm on the street looking at buildings. Like, oh, if I can get to the top of that building.
I mean, that's
easily. All right.
Not for nothing. That's part of the problem with a lot of people now playing online. There is no sense of verticality online because everything is the top down map.
Yeah. It's very hard to do. Yeah, one of the one weekly game that I met, my Wild Magic Sorcerer surged. I ended up getting flight for the entire battle and completely trivialized my friend's encounter.
Flight is powerful. It's very strong.
Flight is very powerful, yeah. You have to, unfortunately, take that as a dungeon master. You have to take that into account. Like, that's why it's so important to look at your player's abilities and be aware of the things that they can do.
Right. But for Wild Magic Sorcerer, that's just random. You can't really prepare for everything on that table.
And I think that's the part of the joys of Wild Magic. Like, I'm very excited. I know, Mike, you're playing a Wild Magic Sorcerer in one of my games.
I love the randomness.
And I cannot wait for you to get higher level in that game should you survive to higher levels.
That you say that, should you survive. I hope he does.
We've gotten very close to dying in several of the
This is level one. Level one. And level two, low level Dungeons and Dragons is survival horror.
Especially as a caster. Like, I've got like no HP. Like a stiff breeze will knock me over.
I promise you, like, it wasn't even like I was gunning for you guys. This is just what the dice were rolling, and you just had a real bad day.
I thought it was actually very exciting to like, it was very good.
I mean, I have to be honest. I've always treated you guys. I wouldn't say I'm like a pushover DM. Like I'm never out gunning for you guys. Never. Right. Never, ever, ever. I think I've only had two players in my entire career as a dungeon master where I actively was out gunning to kill them because I just didn't like who the people were. Like as human beings, and then it translated into their characters. I did not like them. I was much younger. I have to say, I was much younger, much more inexperienced, and much more mature at the time. So, like, I cannot deny that was not the best way to take action on that. So, I'll admit fault and blame in that. But fuck them, guys. Like, seriously,
right. I mean, I get it, because even before like I joined you guys in playing, I sat in a couple sessions just to kind of hang out. And I do remember like, I was like, oh, I like this vibe. I don't want to like ruin it. But I do remember stories about you and some problematic people. What was it? Bob the Pit Fiend or Bill the Pit Fiend?
Bob the Pit Fiend was great. No, yeah. That was awesome. Like that.
No, but I'm like, okay, all right. There's things like that in this game. Okay. Not that I wanted to fuck things up, but it's like. Oh, that's scary.
Bob the Pit Fiend was a player creation. Like that.
Oh, got
that
it.
That was not me. That was one of my players making the mistake of saying, guys, we're pretty powerful now.
That's the story. That is what I remember.
Yeah. I love the hubris. I love the hubris.
Hey, we're pretty strong. Let's fight this Pit Fiend.
We got this. And then they got meteor swarmed by the Pit Fiend. One of them turned into a silver dragon to try to fight the Pit Fiend. The Pit Fiend choked out the silver dragon. And then like proceeded to basically raffle stomp all over the rest of the party.
Oh, that's so silly.
They survived by like some shenanigans. I had no intention of killing them. I didn't want them to fight the Pit Fiend, but you fuck around and you find out.
No, and that's something I do love. It's like, oh, that's a thing we could fight? Should we fight it? Yeah, let's fight it. And you as the DM, you're like, all right, okay.
I guess we're here now.
And like the funniest part was even, the hubris was actually out of character as well. So the hubris was in character because like, guys, I think we're pretty sure we could take him. And then I was like, all right. And so I put down at the time we were playing in person. I didn't have like fancy minis. I literally just had a piece of paper like with the grids on it. We were like, all of them had like little miniatures that they had printed out and stuff, like little paper minis. So I would have to like break pieces of loose leaf paper and put them down as the monsters. So I put down Bob the Pit Fiend, and he was just like, he wasn't Bob the Pit Fiend, he was just a white square piece of paper that was like, I just told him, hey, this is the Pit Fiend.
Here you
go. One of my friends is an artist, and she was just like decided she's gonna draw a little smiley face with like a tail and like horns
as the
Pit Fiend. And then my other friend just added like little arms, and then they added wings.
And it's a group project.
And it was a group project. They were just like, all right. And I was prepping while combat, and then they just got demolished.
Oh, no.
Shout out to my first party of adventurers for this day. I need to just DM again and somehow find a way to bring back those characters.
Love it.
To this. But yeah, Bob the Pit Fiend to this day remains an NPC as a result of this, because they asked for the name and I was just like, it's Bob. It's not his real name, obviously, but you know, real names have power.
Yeah, especially to like fiends and stuff like that, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. For extra planar beings, like they can't give the real name. Are you kidding me?
That's powerful. So,
yeah, that is the hubris of that story. Like that, yeah. That's the kind of dungeon master I am. I'm not out to kill you guys, but like fuck around and you're gonna find out. And
yeah,
but like at the same time, like you also like this is something that I saw recently. I don't want to turn like obviously we've gone off the rails. We'll probably have to do a second episode about UA conversations, but
oh no, not
I mean listen, I really enjoy these conversations that are just like hey,
yeah,
Dungeons so and Dragons is a good time.
I'm having a great time.
It is. There was a conversation that I listened to the Worlds Beyond Number podcast, which is Brendley Mulligan, Bray Iyengard, Lou Wilson, Erica Ishii's like home game that they're what basically an
all-star
like,
cast.
What? So yeah. Good. Oh my god. Oh, and it shows not just that, but in the production value too. Like the music that the atmospheric music that they add to it. Like it makes me want to like the episode the recording sessions that we have when we play. Like it makes you want to put atmospheric stuff to that. But
in sound effect, yeah, that's huge. Yeah, that is huge.
Yeah, sound effects, atmospheric music, all of that. It's just chef's kiss. But in the fireside chats that they have afterwards, which is a Patreon exclusive for them, people are allowed to ask them questions. And mm-hmm. one of the questions that was asked was in one of the circumstances, they split, something big happened. All right. And they, instead of doing what like most players do, which is to keep the party together all the time, they split the party.
Oh, no.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That's your instinct. It's like, oh, no. But the way Eric explained it, she's like, you know, like my better instinct as a player is telling me, no, keep the party together. But because they're performing and it is a performance.
Yeah.
For the sake of the story, you know, go with this party split. And Brennan, in response to that, as a DM, he even said, he's like, listen, I like as a DM, it's not your job to like make bad decisions always turn out bad.
Yeah.
It's a good idea. Like sometimes you have to try to make even bad decisions don't necessarily mean that it's going to have a bad outcome. Sometimes bad decisions end up with like a positive. So like they split the party. Lou Wilson ends up going to talk to Lou Wilson's character ends up going to talk to like this mob boss. And like the atmosphere was very, very just kind of like, this is dangerous. Why are you going to talk to him? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? And instead, he makes a contact out of him. He makes a like a connection with this mob boss. And everything turns out not just well, but like in their favor. So don't slap your players on the hands for making a bad decision. Follow the story. Make the story work. So I don't know. That's just something that like I've recently like it hit, and I was like, I need to do this as a dungeon master more often. I should not be penalizing my players just because they make a bad decision.
Right, but it also is kind of exciting to be like make a decision like in character that you know out of character is bad, and to face like consequences is exciting. Oh, yeah. So like I do enjoy like the. It's like, well, I know this is like a bad game action, like unoptimal, whatever you would call it, but. Mm-hmm. This is what my character would do, so I'm doing it. And I do like the repercussions. Like, bring them on. I love it.
And the part that I hate is it's you have to strike a good balance of that because, and you said it yourself. Like, this is what my character would do. A lot of asshole players, like players who are just like main character syndrome players. That's their excuse.
I'm stealing everything from the party. This is what my character would do.
Exactly. Like that is literally the voice that they all have. That's exactly what all their players, that their characters do.
I've heard them.
Absolutely. I've heard it too. Absolutely. Without a doubt.
And I like playing rogues. I don't want to be lumped in with them.
Listen, I almost activated Void Arcane Sigils in a small enclosed space until you guys were like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Because we're trying to talk you down. You're trying to ride an elevator. And you're like, let me do magic.
let me just do like non
untested, just, you know, non-Euclidean runes. It's fine.
Let's fuck with this in close proximity to everyone I care about.
We all may die right now. Are you guys okay with me doing this? No.
Please don't.
We're not. Please don't. But if I'm honest, though, our dungeon master, he was going to let it ride.
Yeah.
He was going to let it ride.
That's because he knows us. We're experienced. We should know better.
Right? Like, in the words of Mikey, let it rip.
Let it rip. Just let it rip.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's great. No, Dungeons and Dragons is fun. I love it. Yeah, but DUA was really interesting. A lot of changes, a lot of things that they are rolling back to the 2014 fifth edition handbook. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling we will probably have to talk about this again, just because this has gone completely off the rails to just talk about our experiences as players.
I feel like this always happens, but I would love to talk about this again. This might just become a D&D podcast. Who knows? Like,
you know. Hey, I wouldn't be mad about that.
Yeah,
It's not like I don't get enough. Like, I run the game for you guys. I play in two games with you guys.
Yeah, we got a lot of games. We got so much.
More. Yeah, and still feels like it's not enough, right? Yeah. Like,
wow, that's true.
I have this really fun monk cleric I want to play, and.
I want to go back to playing that character. I have a Bladesinger that I want to run.
Oh. I'm playing a Bladesinger I'm playing two Bladesingers, actually, technically.
I want to play a Bladesinger. Like, honestly, okay. Like, I love the character that I'm currently playing, the Warforged Druid that I'm playing right now with you guys in our Spelljammer game. Mm-hmm. If he dies, I'm playing a Bladesinger. If he dies, I'm playing an Astral Elf Bladesinger. Like, I'm telling you guys right now.
You got the backup character. Oh, and an Astral Elf? Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Yes.
We're not going to. Okay. All right. Yeah. Actually, okay. If the character does die, that would be very interesting if you're an Astral Elf. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Like, the backup character is right. Honestly, like I told you, I have backup characters of backup characters ready to play.
Do you guys want to see my Hero Forge page? It's insanity.
Yeah,
it's filled with characters.
Filled with characters.
I have characters that don't have names. Like,
I can give one a name.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. Silly Pants Jackson.
Oh, this
Now is the first name Silly? Last name Pants Jackson, or is it Silly Pants Jackson?
It's Silly Pants, one word. It could be shortened to Spance if you want.
Spance Jackson.
Yeah. Spance
Jackson. I love that.
Yeah, that's how he goes by.
I think
Silly Pants is his government name.
Honestly, I have a feeling we will eventually see Spance Jackson in an actual game. Ed's writing it down right now. He's going into Hero Forge. He's literally opening his silence is him going into Hero Forge right now, going, which one is gonna be Spance Jackson?
Spance.
Oh no. This silence is me. I already had this open.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. You're in it.
Yeah, this is me just naming this guy. Spance Jackson.
We're gonna get spanced. You know, he could say that.
I wanna run. I've mentioned to you guys, I really do want to run like one of those more silly games. Like they're the more tongue-in-cheek games, so to speak. Like Honey Heist obviously comes to mind.
Love that.
But going back to that all-star cast, that a podcast I'm currently listening to, they turned me on to a really fun system called Roll for Shoes.
Okay.
Roll for Shoes is essentially you start the game, you have no stats. Like literally you build your stats as you play the game. The only skill that you have is do anything rank one. And when you want to perform an action that requires a skill check, your first action is to do anything. Like you could literally use that as your ability. If you roll a 6, because the game is based on D6s, if you roll a 6, you gain a level in whatever the action that you were taking as a skill.
Oh, so you can have literally anything as a skill.
Exactly.
To be like, but, I'm going to open up this can of tomatoes.
Yes.
Roll a six.
So roll a six. What is that? What is that? Like, you're opening up a can. You're trying to open up this can of tomatoes. You roll a six. What would that skill be called? Like, it's up to me to kind of come up with you to come up with what is that going to be? So I don't know.
Can handling.
Like, yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. Can handling.
Can handling.
Exactly. Can handling rank two is what you have. Oh,
I'm so good with cans.
You're great with cans. You're amazing with cans. So, like, what does that translate into, though? Like, what does that translate? What other action can you take that you have to use cans? That you,
oh,
can,
shit.
You have to use can handling for?
Getting married.
Oh, man.
Listen.
You tie it to the back of the car.
Listen, that translates to that. So how well are you going to tie those cans to the car?
Oh, no.
How good are you at tying cans to strings and then tying that string to other cans?
If you have,
and then tying the knot. With the person.
If you have two ranks in the ability, you roll 2d6s instead.
Oh.
To see like how well you can do. If you roll 2 sixes, you get a third rank another ability that matches that. So, like, for example,
that's great.
Handling, if you're tying knots to work on the cans, you just are now an expert at tying knots to cans. It's like knot tire. Or whatever, not tired rank three.
Oh, that's great.
That's so much fun. Like, it feels so silly. It's so much fun.
And you could put that, like, in any setting. It could be, like, medieval, futuristic, modern, right? Like,
the premise of their game right now is, Erika Ishii is a first-time dungeon master. She's DMing Lou, Brennan, and Abrea. Lou is playing a horse named... It's a winner, baby.
Love that. Love
Bray
that.
Is playing a goat named Philip, a baby goat named Philip.
Philip.
And Brennan is playing an old mother hen who's an expert thief.
Oh.
They're all playing animals, and they're all trying to steal the corn feed from the country fair.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's incredible. It's so good. Like,
I'd be down to do something silly like that. That sounds ridiculous.
So silly like that. Just a group of like four or five of us and just do that. Like it would be a dream come true, honestly. Because it's all improv.
It's so good.
God, I used to make fun of improvers when I was growing up. Not really.
And now you're like, I think I want to take an improv class to be better at Dungeons and Dragons.
Exactly.
I mean, to be fair to you, even people like in improv make fun of people in improv. So
yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I get it. On that note, I think we'll end and set this as a part two to be continued, where we'll actually talk about the UA next time.
Do we have any cliffhanger? Like, what's a good cliffhanger?
I don't know. Maybe Matt will join us next time.
That's a good cliffhanger. Okay, now I'm hooked. I'm in.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
A good night.
Good night.